Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Whoa.
Huh?
Huh?
What?
How many? Welcome to Zero Issues. We're gonna just jump in blindly.
We usually don't do a third episode during a recording session, and we are trying it out. That's what we're gonna do.
So please give us.
And why are we trying it out?
Because beer.
We have a beer. We're gonna try to aim for I think three different topics, right? We're
sure.
Try to do that.
Whatever many it takes. Whatever.
What are we drinking right now?
What are we drinking right now? We are drinking
our lovely sponsor.
Witchwood Brewery Hobgoblin.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally crafted legendary ruby beer.
There we go.
I have had this in the past. It's not bad. It's got kind of an odd flavor to it, but it's interesting.
I've had it before.
Yeah. Sorry, Hobgoblin. Do you want to go off that?
Well, he is a comic book villain.
Who?
Let me just
jump off to Spider-Man villains.
I was thinking just flat out, what villains do you basically never want to see again?
Demogoblin.
Like, what villains do you think are...
You know where we need a third goblin?
Yeah, you know, when you have to take characters that are, like, subsidiaries of other villains, that... I hate that. There's nothing more I detest. That's just lazy writing and lazy creating.
I dislike Captain Didgeridoo quite a bit.
Captain Didgeridoo?
Yeah, you know, Captain Boomerang's, they were roommates at one point, and then he went off on his own. He had a bit of a hypno-hustler sort of feel to him, hypnotizing people with his magic didgeridoo, but only for as long as he could play the didgeridoo, which was not that long, because it takes a lot of breath control.
It does.
It's like being a hip-hop star.
Yeah.
That's what killed Biggie.
I was actually playing guitar, jamming with the didgeridoo this weekend.
Really?
I'm not even joking.
Why would you joke about that?
I would never joke about
who
didgeridoo.
Who played the didgeridoo?
Derek Grisanz.
Oh, I don't know him. I might know him actually.
I feel like we can all agree on one thing, and that's didgeridoo-don't.
It was actually pretty fun. It was a cool.
He said didgeridoo-don't.
That's main eater.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was fun. It was, I had no idea what we were getting into when he just pulls the didgeridoo. I love the sound of it, and it was like, how do I play along with this? I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Totally off topic.
Must play to the tune.
Yeah, I was like,
love the tune.
What,
will do anything.
What note are you in? I don't know, didgeridoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you didgeridoo it.
I didgeridooed the shit out of it.
I double dog didgeridoo.
Yeah.
I didgeridoo don't know what to say anymore.
What's your favorite Spider-Man villain?
Favorite Spider-Man villain?
Not including let's eliminate the obvious one.
Such as? Green Goblin, Rhino.
Doc Ock.
Venom.
Yeah.
Can we eliminate Boomerang just because Boomerang's kind of hot right now?
Is he hot?
Well, yeah.
Why?
Because, Superior Foes.
He's covered in Boomerang. It's a good look.
I have to admit, I have not been reading Superior Foes. You brought it up, I think, last time.
It's very good.
I was like, you know what? This might be interesting. It's been canceled, has it not?
I believe it will be at some point. Yeah. Probably soon. Which is sad, but, you know, what are you going
to
do?
I want to say, when it comes to Spider-Man villains, I like the Lizard quite a bit.
Yeah?
Especially what they've done with him in the past couple of years, where it's like, okay, the Lizard brain is fully taking control, and no, Connors is in there, but Connors is a Lizard. But, like, even just going back to, like, he was a scientist, he was a family man, and he ate his kid.
Oh, that's... Oh, yeah, the sheds.
With me? Yeah.
What? I don't remember that story.
That was...
It was
3 or 4 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, it was...
Amazing Spider-Man 22.
I think it was during the Gauntlet, wasn't it?
Drawn by Stephen Ditko.
It was during the whole, Brand New Day, the Gauntlet period there, and yeah, he's
there was actually...
Chris Bacalo, or however you pronounce Bacalo? That. Bacalo, yeah, that's
Smith,
it.
Smith.
He drew it, and it was...
Really?
Yeah.
During Brand New Day, a colleague of mine in the webcomics community, Evan Hodgins of Noobs and Men, did a comic about it where it was like during Brand New Day and like the heroic age, they're having a party on the Avengers Tower and Thor and Iron Man and everybody are there. And then Spider-Man gives him a call. He's like, hey, I need some help here. The lizard just ate his kid. He's like, yeah, okay, all right, we'll talk to you later. Yay, Brand New Day, everybody's great, we're happy, yay.
Brand New Day and the heroic age. He ate his own child.
Yummy, yummy, in my tummy.
That's revolting.
So top that.
I can't. I cannot.
See, that
favorite Spider-Man villain?
Juggernaut was pretty good as a Spider-Man villain.
Oh, yeah.
Would you consider him... I don't even consider
he's
him...
He's not mainly a Spider-Man villain.
He's mainly
They fought.
An X-Men villain.
Yeah, sure. But when he has fought Spider-Man, it's like, Spider-Man's just like, okay, I can't do shit about this guy. What am I,
Yeah.
Well, see you... what do I do? Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do about a problem like Kane Marco?
Yeah. I have to say, thinking of that and thinking of an offshoot of that, because I think of him more as an X-Men villain.
Oh, absolutely.
He is more of an X-Men villain. There is a one-shot story where it's Logan and Nightcrawler and Colossus, and they're all in civvies.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And they're like, he's like, we're going out for a drink. You're like, I don't want to go out for a drink. You're coming out for a drink. And they drag Peter out. They're like, no, we're going.
Oh,
they take him to the bar.
Oh, is that
and
the one
And
Kane
Marco is at the bar. And they're like, that's the Juggernaut. And
is that the same one where they brought Peter out basically to beat the shit out of him because he fucked around with Kitty or something like that?
Yeah. It's like, you know what?
You
fucked it up. You were the one that
he kind of cheated on her or something.
Yeah.
Was that
post Secret Wars?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because it was the
specifically brought him out so they could beat the hell out of him.
Well, not beat the hell out of him, but they were
totally
lay into him. They were like, you were a dick.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know what? And then, Colossus and Juggernaut are going at it. And it's one of the best fights I've ever seen drawn in comics. It's just...
It's
Juggernaut lifts a bar and drops a bar on him. The whole 20-foot bar. And Logan's like, no. Taps Kurt on the shoulder. No, just let them work it out. Let them work it out.
Mein Gott!
Yeah. In Freiline. Yeah. It's just, it's brilliant.
Colossus is Freiline?
They were pretty close.
Colossus is I'm real sore right now.
Yeah.
But are you sore?
Ooh. I'm trying to figure out who my favorite Spider-Man villain is, and for some reason I'm going a Chameleon, and I don't know why.
Really?
I feel like there were some certain stories with... I always kind of appreciated how he was kind of the first supervillain that he fought.
Okay.
Was he?
Yeah. He, in Spider-Man... Amazing Spider-Man number 1. I'm pretty sure it was...
Was it 1?
Yeah.
Really?
Amazing Fantasy was the origin.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next one, Amazing Spider-Man number 1, had, I'm pretty sure it had, there was a thing with him, stopping the Chameleon, and also he tried to join the Fantastic Four, and then there was...
Hanging out in the glass tube.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that was, in the first one, so I think he was kind of his first actual kind of supervillain character, which is oh, that's kind of neat. And he was used really well, kind of post-Clone Saga. There was a story where he, I think he sort of figured out Peter Parker's identity, and he, kidnapped him and stuff, and he tried to take his, J.M.
DeMatteis.
DeMatteis, DeMatteis,
yeah.
Whoever you pronounce that. Yeah, there was a, it was a, he was using him there, and I think it was sort of he defeated Spider-Man, and he, sort of took his identity. He was So he went to Spider-Man's in an electrified cage, and he goes to, I don't know if I've talked about this on this show before, but he goes basically, you know, pretending to be Peter, and he shows up and he's like trying to like, you know, I don't know what he's trying to do. He's just trying to manipulate Mary Jane. Mary Jane sees through it immediately, beats the shit out of him with a baseball bat. Like, Peter, like, busts out of the cage. He's like, I gotta save Mary Jane. He gets there, and, Mary Jane's already knocked him unconscious with the baseball bat. It's like, yeah, that wasn't you. Of course that wasn't you. It was weird. It wasn't a very good showing for the chameleon, but it was a good moment for Mary Jane, and I thought as a whole it was a good story.
One thing that I'm not a fan of when it comes to the chameleon is his ties to Kraven. It's like, let Chameleon be his own character, because...
Does he have ties to Kraven?
Yeah, he's, what, stepbrothers?
What?
Something what? Like that.
They're, okay, you know what, I have to say, let me just toss this out right now, my answer was going to be Kraven.
Okay.
Kraven. And I had no idea. I've never... Yeah.
Oh.
Huh. I had no idea. I've never heard that.
There's a whole thing there.
I've talked about it somewhere recently, but I don't like it when everyone's connected beforehand.
No.
Yeah.
It's a big universe. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I understand the desire to, as a writer, to kind of do that, but at the same time, you don't need to do that. You can just expand it more.
Ooh, they like both Russian, so it's like, oh, well, clearly they must be brothers or cousins or something.
All the Russians are like, oh, did you know that they're both Colossus' godfathers?
Really? Like...
Nothing to do with magic.
I've spoken about this before.
Mikhail Rasputin, though.
Well, he went bad somehow.
Rasputin, Russia's greatest love machine.
You can't tell what I'm dancing.
It's a dance party up in here.
Anyway, that devolved into a Kids in the Hall sketch. Yeah. Like one of the ones that Bruce wrote. Take that, Bruce McCullough.
Bruce. Yeah.
I like
You're that. Not prettier than Dave.
No one's prettier than Dave.
Never.
Well, maybe Mark.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just saying. Punch him in the mouth.
I've earned it.
Slap him in the mouth.
This is like your Frank Whiteley moment.
So, I've mentioned it before on episodes earlier, was the love for Kraven's storyline with the whole Kraven the Hunter where he died. That story arc alone, whatever came before, whatever came after, didn't matter.
I didn't read that storyline until the first time you brought it up on the podcast.
Really?
And then I went and I read it and I was like, hold on. Yeah. This is freaking amazing.
It is. Oh, yeah. It is so good. So good. So well done.
That would also be the writer. Was Jam.
Was it Jam DeMatteis?
As well. I think it was.
Wow.
Which he was also.
Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure it was, because he actually wrote a lot of really sort of psychologically interesting Spider-Man stories for decades there, for sure. For sure. Like he was always my favorite during then.
Which is funny, because, like, I don't, like, how much you pay attention to who the writer is and at what point. Like, especially when you're younger, you don't really give a shit.
Yeah.
You're just like, I just pick up a comic, I read it, that was awesome, and then that was it, sort of thing. And even when you get into the storylines, you're not really paying attention to, oh, who's doing this story arc, sort of thing. Right. It's when you get to our age, then it's like, oh, you start to pay a little bit more attention and more of an industry thing, and, like, You as an artist or a writer, you're understanding, okay, this is more complex.
I think a part of it is when you get to a certain, you can maybe sort of feel like a certain vibe of somebody has a strong identity.
Well, but the thing is, DeMatteis is doing, he did Phantom Stranger.
Oh, okay.
And he did that full story arc where he, like, it was the New 52 reinvented Phantom Stranger. He was Judas, and that was the storyline. And it was... Really?
That's what your sweet medallion is, right?
Yeah, it was
literally 30 pieces of silver. Yeah,
it was done really well until they fucked it up with the whole like Blight crossover Forever Evil stuff. Right. They're like, we need to do 14 different storylines mixed into yours. Is that okay? Yes, go ahead. Mess up the storyline.
I gotta say, for all the DC stuff that I don't read, I'm kind of excited to read Multiversity.
I've been just ignoring.
There's
all
a goofy
of it.
Marvel universe in there.
Yeah, and Captain Carrot's in it.
Yeah,
I don't even care anymore. I'll be honest. I'm almost getting to the point where you were before of just like being so anti-DC. And it's like, you know what? Just fucking pick a direction and go.
Apparently it picks up on some threads from Final Crisis.
Cool. Because
that's nice because that was how long ago? Like,
but I mean, if it's doing that,
for me, it was 2 weeks ago. Was it? New 52, right?
Yeah. Well, again, if they're doing that, if they're actually picking up on threads from Final Crisis as if that actually happened, it's sort of playing with continuity in an interesting way where it's like, hey, maybe there is an escape hatch here after all. That'd be neat. That's just me. So, okay. Back to it, though. What villains, even if you want to go with Spider-Man villains alone, do you never want to see again? Ever. And I'll go first.
By all means.
Carnage. Never again.
I'll agree with you.
Carnage, totally. Carnage, after Carnage's like first initial appearances, there's no need to ever use that character again.
I never saw the need to introduce that character. Again, that's what I mentioned before, is the spin-off character. And it's like the second generation, we're going to do this and this and this. Like, you had Venom. That was good enough.
I mean, like, you know, it's sort of like, hey, stop doing it. Venom is, again, he's sort of a deranged...
Oh, he did really well, let's do it again.
He's a deranged, evil Spider-Man, basically, who, you know, talks about eating people's brains. So let's make somebody who's even more fucked up. More deranged serial killer character. And it's like, just like, this isn't a very good Spider-Man villain at this point. He just doesn't work.
I think the reason for Carnage being created in the first place was the oversaturation of Venom.
Sure.
Like, he's everywhere. People love this character, so we need to make him a little more friendly. So, in contrast, let's make a completely fucking off the walls.
Yeah.
What if Venom was...
Because they did kind of toy with him as, like, an anti-hero.
Yeah, and thing. I didn't mind that.
Well, and you know what? Like, in the end, now, he kind of is.
Yeah. Planet of the Venoms.
Yeah, they're totally introducing that.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually quite interested to see. Well, because the way that they've been playing it up in Guardians of the Galaxy, I was like, you know what, with Flash, and then he's with Drax, and he gets ditched on this world, and then Drax gets drawn away, and then, like, the whole team gets dispersed, and then they all try to find each other, and then they're like, hey, where's Flash? Like, oh shit! That human that we left, like, in the middle of nowhere. And
they sit up on the plane, Flash! And he's, oh!
Yeah, really. Played by Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
He's got to fight off Daniel Stern, but then Daniel Stern helps him fight a bunch of chuds.
Chuds. Cannibalistic humanoid undergrowth.
Hey, we crossovers were last week. I don't know.
My God, they were only 20 minutes ago in my mind.
Yeah. My God.
There was that new Avengers bit where I think the Sentry like flew Carnage into space and tore him in half.
Oh right,
and left him to die in space.
He got better.
Yeah, he shouldn't have gotten better. That would have been a fine send off for Carnage. Hey, we shot you into space, ripped you in half, and now you're gone forever.
Take that, the 90s. We destroyed you with the 2000s, which we will surely destroy with the 2010s.
Yeah, exactly.
I have to say the way that they've been leading up to this sort of planet of the vent, like symbiotes or whatever. Hmm.
Oh, Planet of the Symbiotes was the thing in the 90s.
That was.
Oh, yeah. Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, but they're leading up to this... Oh, I didn't realize.
Apparently, because I never read Planet of the Symbiotes in the 90s. Did you?
No.
Apparently, I've never even heard of that.
I commend our 90s taste, considering we were kids.
Well, that's fair. But reading up on Planet of the Venoms, I don't know if that's what it's called. I can't remember. But apparently Planet of the Symbiotes, the 90s thing... wasn't actually an origin story, which I always assumed it was.
Yeah, I always thought it was, too.
I guess it's...
I didn't read it. I know nothing about it. I thought that's what you were referring to was this new storyline.
Well, I was, but they did a thing in the 90s. It was a Spider-Man, Venom, Scarlet Spider thing.
Okay.
Where it was... I guess it was a planet taken over by the symbiotes.
Oh.
But it's like, if you're going to do that, why not just go to the origin place? Like, yeah. Why not just critters it?
They were leaving it for Bendis.
Well, I just like it in Guardians.
They knew ahead of time. It's like, listen, a much better writer.
This guy who's doing stuff right now is going to be huge in like 15 years.
Yeah.
Well, like Drax takes him to this other planet to get him more weapons. It's kind of a like Star Wars nod, and he walks in. He's like, "We don't serve his kind," sort of thing. And then it plays off that, and you realize that, oh, he recognizes what he is.
And that's...
And then that's the opening deal for that. And I was like, oh, that's really
I like that idea. Because you you mentioned that a couple episodes ago, and I thought, like, that's a really good pitch.
Yeah.
Just, like, why don't they do something with that? And then they did something with that.
Yeah. Well, that now that that's what they're getting to, because they were all separated, and now they've collected together, and they each, like, found each other, because they're all being tormented or... Or tortured or captured in some way, and like Captain Marvel grabbed Star-Lord and grabbed
Gamora. I keep forgetting that Captain Marvel's on the team too.
Really wasn't.
I don't know. She's not on the team per se.
It's been this weird thing because they were like she's joining the team, and then I think I talked about this in the previous episode where it was like she was on the cover, but she wasn't in the book at all.
Right.
I was like, you know, that's fucking stupid. Don't do that.
When,
I hate that.
Yeah, when they do that. Show something that happens, or just do a cool picture. But don't do stuff that
don't do a flies in the face of everything kind of thing,
you know. It's not in the book. It's not even really hinted at in the book. You're just putting it on the cover to sell more issues.
That's definitely
just give Scotty Young a little more work instead. Just do a baby's variant.
Yeah,
I like baby's variants.
Those are always charming.
They's the cutest.
Babality.
Yeah. What about you guys? What villains you never want to see again?
I already said Demogoblin, and I stick by that, goddamn
it. That's very fair. Are we going to pin you down to Spider-Man villains? Because that's what we're doing right now, but you can do whatever you want.
Silvermane?
Oh.
You know what?
I wouldn't mind not
What if you just saw his head, though?
His head
I on don't, top You're of, not reading that comic,
His
sorry.
Head on top of Hammerhead's head. I was like, goddamn it, my one strength. You took it away by putting a squishy old man head on top of his head.
On top of Arnim Zola's.
Yeah.
Oh. Chest head.
There's the camera.
I'm made of weak points.
Camera, Hammerhead, Silvermane.
Call him Totem. You know who I wouldn't mind never seeing again?
Who?
Matt Gargan, the Scorpion.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. He was good in a couple
episodes
of the 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not counting him as Venom.
Did you know that?
Because he ain't Venom. He's fucking Scorpion.
Yeah, and even when he was Venom, it was just like, Eddie Brock at least had the even when he was a villain, he thought he was the good guy.
Yeah.
Matt Gargan was just a horrible monster.
He was just a hired gun, and for that you have Shocker, you have Boomerang.
It's much to my, I think it's much to my...
You have Fancy Dan.
But then that's the twist you have. I don't mind that.
Well, I feel like there, if a character is basically just a full-on horrible monster and has no redeeming qualities at all, that gets, you know what I mean? Like, okay, that's fine for a story, maybe, but it gets tiresome. Like, again,
it depends
that's my
on
issue
how you
with Carnage, too, is like, he's a monstrous serial killer, and that's it.
That depends on the writer. That's all on the writer.
Yeah.
That it's like, whoever can handle that and whoever can tell a decent story and can take that to the next level and continue it on.
I think
you gotta think ahead, and you gotta, like, I'm not just gonna do, like, not that a comic can't just have a one-off story.
Yeah, of course it can.
But
they tend to bring characters back, and not all of them deserve to be brought back.
No, certainly, yeah.
For Venom, for example, I'd argue, like, Eddie Brock, I think, is, you know, decent, and Flash Thompson's good, so.
I was a little put off, to be honest, when I figured out that Flash Thompson was Venom, and I was like, what the fuck? Because I totally missed that transfer, and once I kind of figured out what they did, I was like, you know what, that's a very cool idea.
Well, his first sort of thing is Venom, when he puts on the suit and he's in the government lab. They're like, yeah, we've got this thing for you. He's like, oh, awesome, I'm Spider-Man! It's like, no, you're Venom. It's like, yeah, but There's two Captain Americas, there's two of this other guy. I can be Spider-Man, too. I mean, look at me, I'm Spider-Man. It's like, yeah, but you gotta be Venom.
Even at that point,
yeah,
he's still Flash
Thompson. In my head, I'm freaking Spider-Man. Yeah. That's amazing.
I've always wanted to be Spider-Man.
And I don't know if I hadn't actually read that story, but I mean, if that's how they play it, where he's able to keep it under control because he wants to be Spider-Man, he's still that much of a fanboy for somebody who's just good. That's kind of great. Man. So, I guess we covered topic number one.
Topic number two.
Topic number two.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
So,
I am pouring beer number two. My wife and I recently took a trip to the States, and picked up a couple of American craft breweries.
Oh, so which great sponsor is this?
One can only hope. This is Moose Drool Brown Ale.
Moose Drool.
It's actually quite tasty.
Now, if you take enough shots in the dark, you're going to hit something eventually.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you.
Sponsored by Kraft Dinner. It's worth a shot. I want to get my sweet Kraft Dinner sponsor money.
Hey, you know they have Ninja Turtle Kraft Dinner in the States?
Well, it's Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Oh, well, there's that. So it's not actually Kraft Dinner.
I don't know why they don't just call it Kraft Dinner. Oh, yeah.
Either way.
Fattening up our tapeworms.
Kids in the Hole tribute episode. All right, salut, my friends.
Salut.
Huh. It's really airy.
It's lighter.
Yeah.
It's lighter for enjoy brown ale. But it's delightful. I don't mind it.
I got one. It's going to be a short one, I think.
Okay,
that's fine. One of my favorite genres of video games is the goofy old arcade-style beat-em-ups, where it would be like two-player or four-player, or in the case of the great X-Men game, six-player.
Okay.
Oh,
Where you'd have so many people and, like, crowding around a cabinet playing this game. Are there any comics that you think would lend themselves really well to a game like that nowadays?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Done.
Yep.
Yeah, like...
Absolutely.
I am Groot! Like, just you'd hit a Groot button, and he would do that, and just clear the screen.
He would go, like Colossus would do, because, you know, Colossus could shoot out energy waves when he did that.
Of course. Yeah.
That was a thing that happened.
Just and like how Kitty Pryde couldn't travel through time with her brain.
Just like Nightcrawler could run around really fast, leaving a multicolored trail behind him. Because that was Nightcrawler's power,
that's called
right?
diarrhea. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like
Nightcrawler diarrhea. Go!
They've done one, like, even in recent years. Like, I've never played it past the demo stages, but the Scott Pilgrim game looks amazing.
Phenomenal. All right. Super good.
It's a
I have it. We should do that sometime.
Oh, my God. Can we do that?
Yeah, let's... Do you want to play? Come on, come over. That's going to be good.
I call dibs on knives? Could be knives?
Oh, there's... Yeah, I think they had, like, DLC packs where you could have more characters like
there's
knives
and Wallace.
Yeah. So there's... You got some characters to choose from. It's quite good. It's amazing. It reminds me... It's very much, like, totally based on River City Ransom.
Yeah.
Which was, like, one of my absolute favorite games.
But, like, the guys are dropping toonies, and there's...
Yeah.
There's TTC buses going by.
Exactly. Like, that's
amazing.
And they have, like... You know, they have, like, their... They slightly changed. Like, you have, like, Leo... Lee's Palace was, like, Leo's Palace, yeah. And, like, you know, Sneaky D's, but,
that's
like...
That's a shithole.
Version of Sneaky D's. Which one?
Lee's Palace.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
I just went there to go see, you know, Whisper the Trail of Dead.
Okay.
They treated me like shit. Let me just say that.
It's part of the,
You're not a sponsor.
Part of the,
you're not a sponsor.
Part of the
experience. Fuck you, Lee's Palace.
Part of the
you were dicks when I walked in.
Where's
you
Palace?
Had the door open, and I walked in, and you were like, hey, we're not open yet. Well, close your fucking door, then. Cock knockers.
Take that, Lee's Palace.
Yeah.
You know what I think would be a good walk around beat 'em up?
But
Sega.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Sega.
Sega? Yeah, totally.
Sega, like, Streets of Rage sort of thing.
Ooh.
Build up your character over time. Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm going to be the ghost babysitter.
Oh.
This is awesome.
That would be awesome.
And as
no, is it like the floating ghost babysitter?
As you go, you get new powers.
You're
going to
be here for a little bit, and
she can
then she's going to go away.
She controls enemy characters, stuff like that. Like, there's,
you could be the baby.
Yeah. There's a lot of characters that really lend themselves well to video games, and the only video games in terms of comic stuff that we seem to get are tie-ins to movies that really suck.
Yeah.
Like,
except Spider-Man 2 on like the PS2 and GameCube. That was amazing. I never actually played it through. All I did was web swing through the city.
Oh yeah,
for hours.
Because the story mode was awful.
Oh yeah,
it was
totally.
Wretched. But you swing around.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was delightful.
There was... Okay, let me introduce this idea. I am totally not a gamer at all. But...
We still accept you.
Yeah,
that's okay.
And I love you for that.
Love you too, buddy.
Thank you. I just posted this on the Merc page. There was some game coming out, and it was just the way that it interacted with... Like, just the gameplay itself was really interesting. It was like a first-person kind of walk-through, kind of explore-the-world kind of deal, but it was really open to how it did that. I totally wish I remember the name, because it's...
Is it like the sort of thing where you can do anything?
You can pretty much do anything, but it's more... It's like the disappearance of this kid. And this kid sent... You're a private detective, and you've been sent this information. And you have to go explore that. And you start out kind of like on these train tracks, on this, like, train tracks bridge. And you go across, and you can... Just the way you interact is really loose. And it's not like you come into contact with... Often you come into contact with things, and it gives you the answer. It's, right. You come into contact, and it actually poses more questions. And it's like, is this this? Is this this? Is this? And you kind of have to put this stuff together yourself. And then you have a paranormal aspect to it that you encounter certain things. You can kind of see the past of it.
A little bit like the detective mode in the Arkham games. Yes.
Sure. Let me just say,
you can see, that. It's like, oh, okay, this guy shot a bullet from here.
Well, this is like, you find the body of this kid.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit, what happened to it? And you can only come into contact with certain things. You got to change it around. It has to be, like, in certain modes. And all of a sudden, like, a window opens up, like a slow, round window. And then it kind of gives you a flashback of what happened. And it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, like, mixing that with... Like, I saw that, and I was like, you know what? I'm not a huge gamer, but you mix that with certain comic titles, that would be just super interesting. Like, a Doctor Strange game.
I was thinking the exact same thing,
actually. Yeah, it was... Like, just that more... Like, I think I talked Doctor Strange in every episode, but,
they did that Deadpool game a year or two ago, and it was basically just, like, God of War or something like that, where he's like, okay, I'm gonna kill all these guys in this room, okay, now I'm gonna go to the next room, I'm gonna kill all the guys in this room, and it's just, okay, I'm gonna...
That's boring.
Let's put some funny voiceover, and after the third time you hear it, you're like, okay, I get the joke now, and then you hear it 50 more times in the game, where it's like... That's not the good way to do it. You need to focus on what is good about the character and go from there. And
you have to create a character-based game and develop the story around that.
Well, like the Spider-Man 2 movie game,
yeah.
It's basically you're swinging around. It's the best part of being Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Or like Hulk, Ultimate Destruction, where
you can
wreck every part of the city. You can destroy everything.
It's amazing how much replay value you can get out of something where it's just the gameplay itself is just amazingly fun. You don't need a story. You could just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just swinging around a fully realized New York City, like Manhattan as Spider-Man was just so, so cool.
Yeah. But imagine, like, an investigative, interactive, like, more question-based...
Yeah.
Doctor Strange or Doctor Fate sort of game. Oh, where it's like that, or Constantine, or something like that.
I think they did a Constantine game, but it was based on the movie and not great.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like looking at the old Batman games, like anything pre the Arkham games, where it's like, okay, Batman's going to walk from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen, because that's what Batman does. He walks into guys and punches them.
I think I had one of the ones that was on, like, PS2, and it was, like, based on the animated series.
Oh, yeah.
It was not great.
No, it was not great.
I had that for... I think I had that, you know, it was like I played about half the first level, and I traded that.
It's like, oh, well, it is nice to hear Kevin Conroy grunt when he gets punched. But that's about it. But yeah, I think that does really lend itself well to a Guardians game, because what do they do? They goof around and they beat people up.
Oh, totally. Like, that, they would be the ultimate for Marvel now. That,
you know, what
both marketing wise and just character wise, that totally fits.
Yeah,
it would be an interesting.
Yeah,
you could throw that out on like a download things for $5 or $10, and everyone would buy that.
Shit, even do it like in a old school pixely style if
you want
to, because again, that
I would buy that even more.
Retro, do a total. Yeah, you're right.
Do it like honestly.
Look at you.
Go ahead and ape the Scott Pilgrim
Disney
game if you want to do that. I would not complain.
Brought to you by our good sponsor, Marvel Comics.
Disney.
I have one in my head that is maybe the dumbest idea of all time, but. It's not a beat 'em up.
Okay.
But it occurred to my... Sex Criminals.
Go on.
Stay with me. I would do it as... again, it's sort of like a heist-based kind of a game, but I would do it like kind of like Maniac Mansion style, where you have to certain things, but you could go into the quiet by sneaking off into a room to have sex, and you can... you can sort of line things up in a way where you can pull off your heist when everyone else is frozen.
I like it.
Yep.
Yep.
I just pitched the game.
Sold.
And again, yeah, it's got that sort of thing to it where you're sneaking around, setting things up, but you can only do certain things if people are frozen and you have a time ticking to do that stuff. And if you don't set it up just right, you get caught.
I'm just thinking, like, character looks on ground, finds empty gum wrapper. Better have sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to admit, I bought the first trade. I have not read it yet.
You should. It's good.
Yeah.
That rhymed, but that's fine. Anyway, so I feel like that would be a fun game. And if you can do it on a low enough budget, you might be able to sell it.
I think you could do that on a crazy low budget.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what Kickstarter is for.
Absolutely. Somebody is definitely going to go home and tweet at Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky, I think.
Is it you?
It might be me.
It's, yeah, okay.
All right. So, hey, we covered a second topic and we finished our second beers. What's our third topic?
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Meanwhile, in my pants. You're in my pants.
Yes, we're on our third topic and our third beer.
This is another one that my wife and I brought back from the States, from just over the border, Duluth, Minnesota area. This is a Summit Great Northern Porter, which we super enjoy. This is a delightfully tasty beverage.
Tis.
I do enjoy that a lot.
Now, do we have a topic?
I like a dark beer, so I mean, that's...
Yeah, I do like a dark beer. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought we'd go the progression of the...
Brought to you by our great sponsor.
Nobody.
That thing that you said. Summit?
Summit.
We're open to sponsors, though, right?
Well, that's why I keep saying it.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, yay, sponsors!
If you say it enough, somebody's going to sponsor you eventually. Right, Mercedes? Buy Mercedes.
Hugo Boss? Okay, so I thought I had an idea for the final topic.
You didn't think. You have one.
I have one. And this is, it's pretty simplistic, but it's an interesting idea, and it spans start to finish for comics.
Oh, man.
Best or iconic or just the best designed comic character costumes.
Oh, man.
Who do you think...
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Absolutely.
Yeah? And we can say multiple. It's not like, it's like one
I,
each.
It's I like, mentioned it recently, Captain Britain.
I not, was just going to say.
Not the original, though.
Not the original. Going, well, you know what?
Union Jack, yeah. Lends itself well to a costume, yes.
And now that you just said that, Union Jack, the character Union Jack.
Oh.
I really like his costume, too.
And on the topic, Jack Staff. Do you know Jack Staff?
That's like the...
Is it cartoonish? Paul Griss.
Yeah.
You know who I really like?
I like Paul.
Staff Manly.
Well, we're going places.
It's my alter ego. Don't tell anyone.
Ooh.
Who is Staff Manly, and why has he never been seen with Kylie's?
You forgot your own name.
I was like, you're posing on your own name.
I had to think about it.
I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a playboy.
Yeah.
I'm not Staff Manly either.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We're actually the perfect people to have dual identities because no one would ever suspect.
I wear glasses in mine.
Yeah.
I wear both of your glasses on top of
Hold
my
on.
Eyes.
Put them on.
That's all right. No, that's a good idea.
You, if you put both of these on, you can fucking see. You're gonna see through time.
Where's Kyle?
He's seeing it's a 2032.
I've done it.
I can see my ass in 2032.
Who has the worst eyes of us? Probably me.
It's me now.
I think I might have you. But yeah, here, give me yours.
Yeah, you guys should put
that's,
on each other's
We're like switching each other's glasses. Because
that's how glasses work.
It's hard to tell. Like, what would be...
I can actually kind of see pretty okay right now.
It's not bad, but it's like...
Can you read things?
It seems blurry, like it's weak to me.
Oh.
He means like in general.
Oh, God.
So, costumes.
Costumes. Again, I said Spider-Man. I'm sticking with that. That's been largely unchanged in, like,
for
how
iconic,
long.
Classic costumes, I have to say Green Lantern. His original costume.
Oh, Alan Scott?
No.
Yeah.
Well, not that original.
Because that thing's super gross.
Yeah.
That's a bad costume.
I kind of have a, like, a certain love for that. I have to admit that it's like, I like those old kind of corny,
yeah,
iconic costumes. Not that they're fantastically designed, but you know what? Like, with Hal Jordan's design, that, for the time, and even for a long time after, was very different. There was nobody that had that. It was a weird cut. Like, just the way that it...
With the white gloves.
And the white gloves.
The cut out in the middle.
Yeah, it was it's a weird design. And nobody even approached kind of that sort of a look to it. Since then, it's like, since you get to the 70s and 80s, then people have done similar things since then, but...
I think a really well-balanced costume, it might not be iconic, but it certainly fits into the classic mold, is the Marvel Man, Miracle Man costume. Sure. Especially, probably from around issue 12 or 13 or so.
I honestly don't know that character very well.
Well, think of the current Captain Marvel costume, and it's that minus the helmet, pretty much. Red on top, yellow stripe, blue lower, insignia in the middle.
Yeah.
It's a super solid costume, though.
Yeah. Should I, you know, give the Captain Marvel costume on that? But anyway.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. You know.
That's fair.
Fair. It's very fair.
You were talking about Captain Britain. I do like both the earlier and the later one.
They're both really good.
And a lot of people shit on the first one.
It's a good costume.
Which is really funny, because I'm like, why? Like,
Those same people love Gambit, though. And he's got the same hair coming up the top thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny, because... I
don't like Gambit. Did you know that?
What? I don't
care for him.
You don't like Gambit? I know.
What about when Gambit was deaf? He had a slightly different color palette.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about it.
I didn't mind Gambit at the start.
I never read that Gambit. Anyway. When it was...
I have the first appearance of
age-reduced Storm.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it, but I don't know it.
And, like, even then, a very different character, Gambit. And then, even as it kind of progressed, and he became part of this team, and it was like, you know what, I don't mind it. And then, kind of... went a little off the rails after that.
Then he was left to committee, it seems like.
Yeah.
Then you get into, like, externals and all that stuff. Like, how many families is he with? I don't know.
Okay.
Costume. Classic. Or do you have one?
No.
Dr. Fate.
I have to say,
even just that color palette of those two colors together, and that... that helmet design is fucking brilliant.
Oh, yeah. We covered it in an earlier episode, but the 90s version of Fate was different.
Oh, yeah. Well,
But, yeah, no, that... Again, yeah, that costume is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Wolverine's brown costume in particular is easily the best look he's ever had.
Okay, I was actually thinking that. I was like, which Wolverine costume would you like?
The brown costume. That's perfect.
Yeah?
I love that look for him.
Okay, tangent from that, which is the best Cyclops costume? Because that's a toughie. I know more than others.
We're going to have disagreements on this.
To me, it would be one of two. It would either be 90s Jim Lee one with
the weird Y thing.
The weird Y thing. which I actually quite like. Like, they're all pretty standard. They're all pretty similar. Yeah. Well, he doesn't vary that much.
When it's like, hey, we can see Cyclops' hair. Not unlike some other costumes.
Yeah.
Ah.
Or, I actually really like the X
thing.
The current look is good.
That's, I'm like, you know what? You finally diversified his look a little bit and his approach. And
it doesn't match where his eyes are, but
Doesn't matter. It's like, it's a full-on visor.
I drew my little version where, like, you just shrunk the X down this way. So it was still an X, but it covered his eyes specifically, like, in the middle is where it met. So, you know, I'm just saying you could just put the X.
So when he fires his eye beams, is it like an X?
Well, his powers are all goofed up right now. So it's sort of like a crazy swirl.
So it shoots out his ass?
I didn't say yes. I didn't say ass beams.
Yeah.
Pew, pew.
Can I say my version? My favorite Cyclops. This might be slightly more controversial, but specifically the Morrison Quitely new X-Men, a black and yellow leather jacket look.
See, it seems like we might be going for a group Halloween costume here.
Everyone pick a Cyclops.
Everyone pick a Cyclops and go.
Because that one, I as far as I'm concerned, that's still, I think that was his best look. Like, I always liked it when, like, you know, Cyclops...
I like adulterous Cyclops.
Oh, well, I don't like that. But, I, you know, like, when Cyclops threw, like, a that like had, like, a brown leather jacket on top of his, like, Jim Lee costume.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
Like, I like the jacket look on him. Yeah. This is the jacket... I like the jacket look on him in general, like, the leather jacket look on him.
It's like Picard wearing the captain's jacket. It's like, sure. Underneath, hey, I've got a gray thing. Nobody else has a gray thing. Check out my gray thing.
I thought it was, you know, some people don't like
Beverly,
that look.
My number one.
I thought that look worked really well for Cyclops in particular.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
It was the one Jim Lee jacket that worked.
Yeah. But I mean, even like, yeah, like the quietly, you know,
yeah,
that version, that, again, like that sort of like he's got the leather jacket thing going on. I liked that. Again, like it had like his visor and he had like the hair showing, but he didn't have like some weird half mask on, which made no sense.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a good, well-rounded kind of look for Cyclops. I mean, one could argue it didn't work for, or you know, I think it worked fine for the entire team, but I think that some people would want more characters to have a more specific look, but I think for Cyclops in particular, I thought it worked. I loved it.
Yeah, I, you know what? I think I liked Beast's costume. I liked Wolverine's. I liked Emma's, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, put, like, honey, it's okay. You can put some clothes on.
I
appreciate that you are a strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
But
you don't need. She's got some sort of like double-sided tape thing going on to hold that in place. It's not very practical.
How about Wonder Man's '70s red
helmet?
Jacket?
Oh, okay.
No, that's '60s.
Oh, okay.
'70s red jacket. I don't even know what. Like,
oh,
sport jacket, kind of turtleneck underneath. Yeah. Get the sunglasses on, the red glasses.
He's gonna go solve some mysteries with the Scooby Gang.
You know what? I kind of digged it in a weird way with him and it's always him and Beast because that was like the awesome pairing of the two of them. They would go out like I had several Avengers comics where they go out drinking and they're like, "Woo, we're doing," and then all of a sudden there was like Red Ronin suddenly shows up and there's like a huge robot. Holy shit, we're on a bridge and there's a Red Ronin. Woo! This is not good.
Well, yeah. they did a thing a few years ago when Wonder Man was leading the Revengers.
Oh, right.
And it was like, Beast was like, okay, Simon, like, I don't know what you're doing, but you gotta like, get your shit in order because this is not the right way to be going. And it's like, I want to go back to the fun times. Remember when you guys had fun? And at the same time,
really?
I wanted something more to come of that storyline because it just sort of went nowhere.
Yeah.
Where he assembled this team. I can't remember who else was on there. I think D-Man, Anti-Venom, I don't know who else. But it's like...
D-Man.
Yeah, man. D-Man.
Oh, remember D-Man?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Who are we?
Who are we?
I'll go first.
Go first.
I will.
Go ahead.
we'll do backup vocals.
At some point it's going to happen. My name is Bri Kotick. My comic
is... His name's Bri Kotick.
Bri-I-Y-K-O-T-Y-K.
He spelled it.
He spelled it out.
This is really funny to me now, but I won't find it funny later.
Not at all.
Like in 2 weeks' time.
Oh!
I'm not singing. Anyway, my comic is welcometohereafter.com, and you can look me up at BryKotyk on the dang old internet.
I'm Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at SkiNinjas.com. On the top, you're going to see links to poetry and... portfolio and all that fun stuff, but right below that you're gonna see comics, and that's what you're there for, right? So read some comics with me, Uncle Kyle.
Good old Uncle Kyle.
Unky Kyle.
Never steer you wrong. He's Magneter.
I'm the Magneterist.
Magnetist? And I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. You can find me at Merc on the Book of Face. Also, Nowadays, you can find me there. That's all I got. All
right, so I guess we should play that sweet song. Who did that sweet song?
Oh, you want to do the sweet song?
No, who did that sweet song?
Who did that sweet song?
Yeah. That would I know that you did that sweet song, but who else
that would be me and Ocean City Defender, who did that together. If you check out his stuff.
I hear's awesome.
He's awesome.
Gotta get that here.
I gotta get that OCD. Love that OCD.
Gotta get some of that.
That's what your life does.
I got zero issues.